Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Sleek. I like your hairdo today.
Thank you. I usually have it in a messy bun. Thought I'd wear it down for you today.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, just I'm wearing mascara for you. And concealer under my eyes. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You are welcome. You are certainly welcome. How was your day?
It was good. I mean, it was work, but you know, I was really tired all day.
Ugh, Mondays.
Yeah, I wanted a nap. It didn't happen, but that's okay.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, what about your day? Did the girls go to school?
Yes, the girls went to school today, and I was kind of wondering if they would because we had freezing rain last night, and you know us Texans and our freezing rain,
right?
We kind of freak out, so.
I didn't even realize that it froze. Like, I knew it rained.
Well, it was sleet.
Oh.
Falling from the sky. What I meant was the rain was freezing as it fell.
Well, yeah.
And so it didn't freeze to the ground, though.
Okay.
So maybe that I did not say that correctly, but it wasn't cold enough last night.
To stick and get all icy.
Yeah, to get icy. So yes, they did go to school today. It was nasty. It was just a nasty day. I had a chiropractor appointment. Oh. And yeah, so.
Is the chiropractor helping you?
Yes. Oh my word. Yes.
Good.
Yeah. So thankful.
Yeah.
I've got full range of motion.
Look at you. Yes, look at me, girl.
Look at me turn the snick.
I wish y'all could see what I see.
Oh man. Now I have like whiplash.
Yeah. What are you doing to yourself?
I don't know.
See, this is why you're
I'm never this active. I know. This is why I'm in terrible shape.
Yeah.
He gave me this little, like, these are just suggestions. And it said, like, don't eat sugar.
Oh.
Don't eat starch. And I'm like, so you're calling me fat. You're just basically saying I need to lose weight.
What is this?
Oh, man.
Well, because it causes, if I could talk, you know, inflammation and stuff. So, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My sweet dad. Okay. So, we were shopping at TJ Maxx and
as you do.
So my mom and dad took my niece for her birthday to go shopping. That's aww, their thing that they do with the grandgirls.
I love that. I bet that's so exciting for them.
Oh yeah. They get to pick out whatever they want. But so Chris and I met them there and Chris was looking at this neck wrap that you can either, it's hot or cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to spend the money on that. Well, my dad surprised, we walked out of TJ Maxx and my dad hands me the bag with this neck wrap.
What a cutie.
I know. So sweet.
That is really cute. I feel that way too. Like I don't want to spend money on stuff that I might need.
Right.
At some point.
Yeah.
That thing that you got me for Christmas.
Yeah.
She got me this migraine thing. It's like a cap. It's amazing. It goes over your face. It's cold. And oh my gosh, I was in another world in that thing. I saw that on TV like maybe 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Like one of those infomercial things.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that would be amazing. But you don't want to spend $30 on it.
That's something that you should get for Christmas. You know, the things that you don't really want to buy yourself.
Yeah.
So.
But then today I was at Target and I found this ice roller in the dollar spot for $3. And I was like, that's worth having on hand.
Okay,
like,
so you just keep it in the freezer and
no, you put it in the freezer for like 15 minutes and then you use it because like that would feel really good on my sciatic pain when I has this turned into a podcast of us just talking about like pain and like ailments? This is sad. Are we geriatric.
We're gonna call it This Is 40.
Wow. Cousins on Crime 40th edition. I don't know.
Okay.
See, I can't even think on my feet anymore because I'm so old. We're sorry, guys.
Okay.
This will not turn into a lifestyles podcast, I promise. But hey, a couple of things I do want to talk about really quickly.
Yeah.
The first is I wanted to read some headlines for you.
Oh, that please
I was scrolling through Instagram today and I came across some headlines and I thought, yikes, what a world.
Yeah, this world. It's a sad, sad world.
Oh, here's a new one that I just came across. Two kids home from school due to frigid Missouri weather killed when the house explodes.
How did it explode? Did you? So these are just headlines. Like you didn't go into the actual story.
No, these are just headlines.
Okay. I need to know more.
I know, right? This is clickbait, right?
Right.
But also, oh, these are kid ones that I'm coming across now and I can't read those. American Airlines flight attendant arrested for allegedly filming girls as young as 7 in airplane bathrooms.
What?
Gross. Man accused of decapitating woman arrested with severed hand in his pocket.
Oh, let me just put this right here in my pocket in case I need an extra hand later.
Okay, so one time me and Daniel were watching Live PD.
Okay.
And it's called something else now. I can't remember what it's called now, but we used to watch Live PD. And this guy pulled ears out of his pocket. Severed ears.
What? So this is a thing where people just put body parts in their pocket.
And I reminded Daniel about it. I was like, what case was that? Because I should cover that on the podcast. And,
yeah.
And he looked it up for me. He'll have to look it up for me again. Okay. And here's one last one. NYC neighborhood turned into a giant toilet as migrants litter the park with poop. Leave cups of urine on doorsteps.
What in the world?
That's the New York Post. I don't know. I don't know. This is the world in which we live. These are the headlines. And one I saw earlier that I couldn't find was these people were giving away, like they had bought this house and there was like a bunch of stuff in the house and they gave this refrigerator to somebody and it had a human head in it in
Why?
The freezer.
Yeah. How does this happen?
These are real things that are happening.
It's got to be people that are on drugs.
We'll be doing this podcast for the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
We're never going to run out of content.
Oh, no, which is really sad.
That is sad, isn't it? It's like, what a sustainable podcast.
Right? Always something to talk about.
I mean, oh, and one last thing. Scott Peterson.
Yes, I did see that headline. What the heck?
Major true crime news. Scott Peterson, his case has been taken up with the Los Angeles Innocence Project in hopes of getting a new trial.
No words.
You have to
go through a qualifying phase to get.
So I want to know what they think is so profound
that they think they can clear him.
So there was another killer around the time Lacey died.
Okay.
And there was another victim. Actually, there's a lot of similarities between the two cases. But here's the thing. There's so many things that just cannot be overlooked.
Right.
The stamped ticket when he was fishing at the bay. That day, the bay that she was found in.
Yeah.
The concrete samples they took of what was attached to her body and the concrete that was found in his boat. Same concrete.
Yeah.
The affair. Like, look, affairs don't make you a murderer, but he told her that his wife was dead when she was still missing.
Right.
And he carried on the affair with her. While she was still missing, saying that he was at the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And he was at her vigil, the memorial, the vigil for her. There's just stuff that you cannot overlook.
I mean, it's to me, it makes me think of the Jim Newman and
yeah,
just the lies and the,
yeah.
That
he lied about so much.
And his behavior whenever she was missing. I don't know what qualified him for them to agree.
I don't know either. He's lost appeals. That's the thing. He's lost appeals. I was listening to Nancy Grace earlier, and apparently he had filed a habeas corpus as well. That was denied. So much has been relooked at, and there have been podcasts that have redone the case, you know, like covered it and brought up all these little things, but they still do not negate all of the major points that I just mentioned.
Right. You're exactly right. And there's
more. He said he was going, that he was golfing with his friends. And then he said, oh, I was fishing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I learned from listening to Nancy Grace was Lacey had been having dizzy spells. And she had been calling her doctor. Like, she called multiple times. And then she called in November. So mm-hmm. she went missing in December. She called in November and said, you know, every time I take a walk, I get dizzy. And they're like, okay. And so they kind of figured it out that she needs to take a walk when she's fully hydrated, fully fed. So like after lunch or after dinner, but they said, don't take walks in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So this whole thing about her taking the dog for a walk in the morning, she just wouldn't have done that.
Uh-huh.
Which is something I didn't know, but apparently.
Right. It's those little details that.
Yes. And she was so serious and so protective about her first pregnancy. She kept calling her doctor with all these little ailments she kept feeling.
Aww.
And so when you're like that, you listen to your doctor when they tell you not to walk. And like, don't go for long walks. Right. Don't walk in the morning. So she wouldn't have done that.
Right.
Anyways.
Seems like, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
That will be very interesting to watch that play out.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So anyways, we've spent enough time on that. I'm excited to hear about your case.
Well, okay. We'll get right into it.
Okay.
Today we're talking about Audriana Zimmerman. She was born on April 13th of 1990. Her family called her Augie.
Aww.
In her short life, she would get married, have two beautiful babies, and at 19, she left her husband and set out to make a better life for her and her kids.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Audriana had moved with her two small children from Lubbock, Texas, to a mobile home park called Cypress Trail Trailer Park in Inslee, which was Escambia County, Florida. She did her best to make friends and become part of the community. However, there seemed to be a lot of strife and arguments through the whole mobile home park. Some would hang out together. There was a lot of arguments between all of them. They had good days and bad days. Like one day they're your friends, the next day you got beef with each other, you know.
Oh man.
Just a lot of drama.
Yeah.
The boyfriend that Audriana was with, Andre Smith, he had just got arrested. So yeah, there was talk that she also had a lot of boyfriends, not just Andre Smith.
All right.
That was one reason for the many arguments between the neighbors. Brittany Miller, who was 16 years old at the time, accused Audriana of sleeping with her boyfriend.
Oh.
So she confronted Audriana about it and she punched her.
Oh.
Well, in return, Audriana tased Brittany. With a stun gun.
Oh my gosh.
And so Heather Lee, another neighbor, she was about 27 at the time, told Brittany's mother, Tina Brown, who was 40,
yikes,
that Audriana tased Brittany. Tina was mad and she was like,
I bet.
Ooh, I'm going to get her. She was, yeah. So all these people are hanging out. So we've got 19, 27, mm-hmm. 16, 40. They're all just like friends sometimes, and then but now they're mad at each other. Adriana decided that maybe Florida was not for her. She was trying to figure out how to get herself and her babies back home to her mom in Texas. Unfortunately, she would never get that chance.
No.
March 24th of 2010, a man named Terrence Hedrick was outside of his house. It was a little after 9 p.m., and he heard a woman's voice calling out for help. As he looked around in the darkness, he saw a woman come from the woods. Her skin looked black. He couldn't tell mm-hmm. what race she was, and he could tell that she had been burned.
Oh, my gosh.
He couldn't even tell that what he could not even tell if she was wearing clothes because she was so charred.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrifying.
It really is. Could you imagine that sight?
No.
He called for police and an ambulance, telling them what he had just witnessed. Well, the fire chief had recounted the experience, saying that when he had arrived, the woman was sitting on Terrence's porch and was rocking back and forth. She was moaning and begging for help. Her jaw was deformed, and it was difficult for her to talk, but she was talking.
That is seriously the scariest thing I could think of.
Like, I know.
A person who's like burnt and mangled and they're alive though.
Yeah. And that's exactly, he was so shocked that she was still conscious because he could see that she was burned about 90% of her body.
Oh my gosh.
Her skin was even falling off.
Oh.
So yeah, there was not much that they could do for her in that moment. The EMT asked the woman her name, and she told them Adriana Zimmerman. She kept telling them that she was going to pass out, but they kept asking questions, like trying to get all the information that they could, knowing that this was their only chance.
Yeah, exactly.
She told the EMT that she was taken from her house, tased, beaten with a crowbar, and then set on fire.
Oh, my.
She asked the paramedics several times if her kids were okay and asked them to check on them since they were home alone. She asked them if she was going to live to see her kids again. Well, one of the EMTs told her that she was probably the last person that she was going to talk to for a while. They asked Adriana, "Who did this to you?" Several times in the conversation, she told them Tina Brown, Brittany Miller, and Heather Lee.
Wow.
Yes. She even was able to give her address and told them what lot number each of those ladies lived.
Oh my gosh.
She's
like, I mean, and she had a silver platter in her hand.
Oh, absolutely.
Jeez.
The paramedic asked her, "Why did they do this to you?" And Adriana said, "I thought we made up." And shortly after, she was put into a medically induced coma. Detectives didn't waste any time. They went into the woods, retracing her trail from where Adriana approached Terrence's house. At about 10 p.m., they went to the trailer park and started knocking on the doors. They spent about an hour knocking on the door of Tina Brown's home and Heather Lee's home. An hour they banged on the door. Well, Heather eventually opened the door, and there in the house was Heather, Darren, Heather's husband, and Tina Brown. Police put Heather in the police car and asked nonchalant questions, and Heather says, "What's going on here? Why am I in here?" The detective says, "Well, we're here due to a dispute with your neighbor that lives over there," and points to her house, and she says, "Adriana? Oh, I saw her earlier today. She was riding her bike. It was like 2-3 in the afternoon, and she told me that she was supposed to go on a hot date." She said this a couple different times.
Oh my gosh.
She says, "And then I went home and I cooked for me and my husband, And as a matter of fact, the food's still on the stove.
As you're saying this, I can see this woman in my head. I've never seen her, but like, I know what she looks like. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So yeah, she rambles on some more about how her mama called her and they talked for a bit and then her auntie came over. Oh. Blah, blah, blah. She had it story for everything.
Keep talking.
Well, Heather asks again, what's going on? And she wanted to make sure that the detective knew that her and Adriana were good friends. Detective says, you mean to tell me that you and Tina have no problems with Adriana? And she says, I didn't have any problems with her. I wouldn't hurt a hair on her head, she said. And as a matter of fact, I had to stop her from being jumped by some girls once before.
Thank you for that.
She said, we are friends and I always have her kids at my house and I love those kids. Well, Heather then says, I want to see Adriana. And she starts crying and says, that's my friend.
Oh my gosh, these people.
When Darren gets put in the car with Heather, the two of them start talking about what each other or what each of them have been asked, you know, not idiots. Realizing that there's so cameras. Dumb. So Darren had told her that detectives asked about a gas can that was on the porch and she got really irritated.
It was on the porch?
I think it was. I don't know if there really was one. I don't know if this was just a ploy to see how they would act.
Okay.
But so Darren says they were asking about some gas can on the porch and she's like, she got really irritated. Oh, she's like, gosh. Gas can? There's no gas can on my porch. So before police take Heather to the station for more questions, she told Darren to contact her lawyer.
Better call Saul.
His name was Gene, so yeah, better call Gene. So Heather, Darren, and Tina, they all get taken to the station for questioning. When detectives ask where Brittany is, Tina told them that she had gone to the hospital because she hurt her hand. So patrol units were put on the task to locate Brittany and bring her into the station. Meanwhile, Darren, while waiting in his interrogation room, is talking and laughing with someone on the phone.
What?
Detective comes in and Darren just continues his convo, you know, just for another few minutes. Okay. Like nobody else is in the room.
Okay, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, not a care in the world. Just so chill. Didn't care. So Darren gets off the phone and detective's like, are you done? Can we talk now? But Heather, in her room, she starts screaming for help. She's like, she's in there by herself. What? And she's like, I need a nurse.
What?
And the detective goes in there and he's like, she's like, I don't feel good. I think I'm having an anxiety attack.
Oh my gosh.
And the detective said, yeah, I wouldn't be feeling good either right now if I were you.
Yeah.
But while he left her in the room, she starts crying and praying. She's like, God, please let her be okay. Like she's rocking back and forth. Let Adriana be okay. Like, praying. So eventually Heather was told that they did get the chance to speak to Adriana when she got to the hospital, and she did give names of the people that did this to her.
Wow. Did her, like, did she go ghost white?
Well, she just kind of, she paused for a minute and she just was like, she's just like, I didn't do anything. Like, just, it wasn't me. Detective says, Heather, she told us that you and the others came into her home and beat her up and burned her. And she's crying, burned her? See, I didn't even know she was burned.
What?
Couldn't have been me.
What? Oh, my Lord.
So, yeah. Oh, girl. She's putting on the dramatics, sobbing. She was my friend that I was the closest with. She had only been there for just a couple months. Come on.
Wait, is this Pam Hupp we're talking about?
It seems like
it's giving Pam Hupp.
Yeah. So Tina, in her interrogation room, was even kill. No big emotion. Tina said she had been at Heather's for a while that evening into the night. They were just watching movies, hanging out. She was hanging out with Heather while she was cooking dinner. You know, the dinner that was still on the stove.
Oh, yeah.
But Heather contradicted that, saying that Tina had just walked into her house and told her that the police were there. That's when Tina showed up at her house. So they're giving different stories.
Okay.
She said Tina did come over around 6 or 7 when she was cooking, but then Tina left saying that she was going home. And then the next time she saw Tina was when she came over to tell her that the police was there, which was about an hour later. Tina is asked about some scratches on her arm and face.
Oh.
Yeah. Her reason for that was, oh, I have a puppy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have a puppy, yeah.
Tina, come get your ham. Napoleon Dynamite, anyone?
Eventually, she starts crying and says, I promise I didn't hurt her. She's been sleeping with a lot of different guys. It could have been any one of them.
I feel like I know these women. Like, when you live in a neighborhood and, like, all the neighbors, you know, kind of go in and out of each other's houses and watch each other's kids and, like, you just know these people.
Yeah. I used to work with a girl, funny that you brought that up, just like you know them. I used to work with a girl who was in her 40s, and she was like the mama bear of the apartment complex. Uh-huh. Like, she would just have everybody in the apartments just come hang out with her. And so there was a lot of drama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the three of the stories were not adding up. And I'll link the video with the confession tapes if you want to waste your time watching and listening.
I've got to see these people now.
So when detectives tell each of them that their stories aren't matching, Darren and Tina don't really seem fazed. They're like still thinking they can get out of this. Heather seems the most anxious about it all.
Yeah.
Brittany was eventually brought in for questioning the next morning.
Was she at the hospital?
Well, they did confront her about that. She's like, oh, I went to this one hospital. And they're like, no, you didn't. She did go to that hospital, but they did not treat her.
Oh.
For some reason, they couldn't. So she left and went to another hospital.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, she did get it taken care of. She was there in the interrogation room with the soft cast on her arm.
What was wrong with her arm?
She did fracture her pinky. And I'll tell you how she says she did it.
Okay.
In just a second. So it's the next morning that she's brought in. She told detectives that after school, she hung out with her friends, Jessica and Mallory, until late. And then they went to the hospital for her hand. She said she broke her pinky when Mallory tossed her the car keys. When she brought up her hand to catch the keys, she caught the corner of the door, like slammed her pinky on the door.
Okay.
And it just fractured her pinky.
All right.
So gathering all of the evidence at the crime scene in the woods, almost 2 miles from the trailer park, there were tire tracks, which did match Tina's car.
These are the sloppiest bunch of idiots.
So sloppy. And she...
So sloppy.
She really thought... Tina really thought that she was so smart. So there were footprints. There was a crowbar. There was a pool of blood, which was Adriana's. There was burnt grass and Adriana's burnt clothes, burnt napkins, and a pair of white shoes that did not belong to Adriana.
Ay, ay, ay.
Also found at the scene was strands of a hair weave that did not belong to Adriana. So Tina, while still in the interrogation room, the detective opens the door and he's like, hey, can you stand up for a minute? Turn around for me. So she's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll turn around. Well, by golly.
Was she missing a patch?
She was missing a patch of her weave. Yeah, the weave that she had in her hair matched the weave at the crime scene.
Well, wouldn't you know it?
Yeah. When asked about it, she said, I already told you that. Brittany was braiding my hair, but it was hurting too bad, so we just took a break. So she didn't finish. That's why it's all patchy.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So also a taser was found at the scene. There was blood on it. The blood that was tested on it was a match to Tina's DNA.
Wow.
Specks of blood was found in Tina's car on the headrest and the back seat. That DNA belonged to Adriana. Heather had offered up the information that Brittany was mad at Adriana, saying that she slept with her boyfriend. So Brittany went and confronted
She threw Adriana. Her daughter under the bus.
Heather is the friend.
Oh,
Tina is.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Tina's Brittany's mom. Okay. So, yeah. Brittany went and confronted Adriana about it. So Heather's telling the story. Like she's.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And Heather said she saw the taser for the first time the day of the murder in Brittany's possession. It was laying on the counter at Brittany's home. So was this a lie to get them off of Heather's back, or is this where the truth starts coming out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Heather seemed to be saying a whole lot to deflect the attention off of her. She's yeah. like, I'm just going to go ahead and give what I can.
Yeah.
So even though it seems like a cut and dry case, they did explore other options and possibilities, you know, because they have to come up with the...
Even though they had the sloppy hose.
Yeah. I mean, it was all laid out in front yeah. of them. But other possibilities that they did explore were Adriana's estranged husband, John. John and Adriana did not get along, but it's confirmed that he was on a business trip miles away.
Okay.
A coworker, Lisa, Adriana had just received a promotion at work.
Wow.
And Lisa felt that she should have been the one to get the promotion instead of Adriana. So it said that she had the motive, like she was bitter.
Yeah.
But she was at a family gathering and everybody there at the family gathering confirmed her alibi. A neighbor named Frank, he wasn't very social. He stayed to himself, but a witness had seen him and Adriana arguing just days before the incident. He did not have an alibi, seeing as he was a loner.
Right.
There wasn't much to go on. Detectives felt that they did not have enough evidence pointing Frank to the crime, and they believed that he was being truthful, so they were on to the next, which was Adriana's ex-boyfriend, Peter. They ended on bad terms, and he was known to threaten her a time Jeez. Or two. But he, too, was excluded. So April 7th, just a couple weeks later, 2010, Tina's family member, they did not name names. They are anonymous. From Illinois, called detectives. She said that Tina called her mother and told her that her, Brittany, and Heather had beat up Adriana, but Adriana had scrambled away. Brittany tackled Adriana, but she was able to get away again and ran into the woods. Tina caught up with Adriana and tased her again and lit her on fire.
Jesus.
Then the three of them left her in the woods and drove away. Brittany told Tina, we have to go back. I left my shoes in the woods.
Oh my Lord.
The white shoes. And, but Tina refused to go back. She's like, we're not going back. So Tina had told Brittany to stay away from the house when the police got there. So to waste time after the hospital, she took the car and cleaned the seats, but they still got yeah. that speck, those specks of blood. Didn't do it good enough. Tina expressed to her family that she wasn't worried about getting caught because they didn't have enough evidence on her. That's what I'm saying. Like,
wow.
She honestly thought she was getting away with it.
Wow. 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 This is going to be in the textbooks for police officers. Like, this is going to be one of those open and shut.
Oh, yeah.
Stories that they learn about.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's amazing. So Adriana, 2 weeks after her assault, passed away on April 9th.
Oh, now I remember you said she didn't get the chance to move. I was thinking you were going to say she survived.
I'm sorry.
I forgot about that.
I so wish I could say that. She fought for 2 weeks.
The poor woman. She was probably in excruciating.
Well, now she was in a medical induced coma.
Oh, that's
coma,
right.
So
that's right. But I mean,
but
the terror
of
her attack. And then, like, she probably didn't even maybe realize the extent of her injuries.
Oh,
if she was able to walk herself out of the woods and back to her,
she's
to a,
like,
neighbor's house.
I just have to go see my babies again is what, I mean, that's what kept her going.
Oh, my Lord.
Mm. So, yeah, 4 days before her 20th birthday, she passed away.
Oh.
So this isn't just a kidnapping and assault case anymore. It's turned into a murder investigation.
Yeah. Big leagues.
Oh, yeah. You're not getting away from this,
no,
Tina.
No, sweetie.
So a classmate of Brittany's had contacted police and told them that Tina and Brittany were harassing her, begging her to act like Brittany when Brittany would be called in for a polygraph test. I don't know if she looked like her. See, just
what?
Another thing that they thought
these
they could get away with.
These people are terrible.
Yeah. So the girl calls up detectives and she's like, please help me get them off. Get them off my back. Needless to say, Tina, Brittany, and Heather were arrested for murder.
Mm.
When Tina was brought back into the interrogation room, the detective lays it all out, the story that they had all pieced together. And Tina looks at him like he's crazy, like he's got it all wrong. And he's telling, as he's telling her. And then he says, you know what, Tina? Not only did Adriana tell us that you, Heather, and Brittany did this to her, but you have been telling other people about it. And they've told us.
What an idiot. Who calls their mom to be like, guess what I did?
Right.
Oh, aren't you proud of me, Mom?
Yeah. So, and this is when they dropped the bomb on her that Adriana did succumb to her injuries and she was now being charged with murder.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
And Tina starts breaking down. They show her the crime scene pictures. They show her Adriana's charred body and she couldn't take it. Motives that were being talked about was the whole story about Adriana sleeping with Brittany's boyfriend. But another motive was that Adriana told Heather that Tina, I'm trying to get this straight, was sleeping with Darren, Heather's husband. But
now we're talking.
Yeah. Rumor had it that Adriana was sleeping with Darren too. Darren admitted to it.
Whoa.
Yeah, in his interview with detectives. And he thought it was funny. He's
incestuous,
like...
incestuous. All these...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
He thought it was funny. And even the person that he was talking to on the phone was another girlfriend he had. Telling her, yeah, I'm being questioned by the police.
Wow.
They accused Adriana of slashing Tina's tires in the past. Adriana had accused Tina of sleeping with her boyfriend too, and accused Tina of calling CPS on her. Just so much drama.
Oh.
So yeah, they felt like they had to get rid of her. It came out in court that Tina lured Adriana to her home, telling her to come over so that they could patch things up, be friends again. That's why Adriana was like, I thought we fixed it. I thought we made up. Well, Mallory, the 13-year-old neighbor, Brittany's friend, who went to the hospital with Brittany when she hurt her hand.
Uh-huh.
So Mallory testified in court, and she said that she was at Tina and Brittany's house when Adriana got there. But just before Adriana got there, Brittany told Mallory, we're about to kill Adriana.
She did not.
And what? If you tell anybody, we're going to kill you too.
Oh my gosh.
So Adriana knocked on the door. If I was that little girl, I would have been running out the house. I
would too. But you know, that's the thing. People don't believe other people when they say they're going to kill somebody. They're like, yeah, you're okay. Full of crap.
Maybe, you know? Maybe they'll just beat her up and whatever. Yeah.
Kill her. Okay. You're going to kill her.
Yeah. So Adriana knocked on the door. And when she came in, she asked for ointment to put on her new tattoo, and she was showing it off. Adriana was there for about 5 minutes when Tina stunned her with the taser in the kitchen. Tina was yelling at her and just was saying all kinds of things. But one thing Mallory said was that Tina was yelling, "Did you call Crime Stoppers on me?" What? Like just all kinds of stuff. Wow. I don't know. Mallory said they dragged her into the bathroom and Adriana was yelling for help. Heather then stuffed a sock in Adriana's mouth and Brittany beat her to shut her up. And then they dragged her out to the car and took her to the woods. Mallory said that when they got back, Brittany told her that they had burned Adriana and Brittany's hand was broken and she wasn't wearing any shoes. Brittany put all of her clothes in a bag and Heather cleaned blood off of her shoes and put them in the bag with Brittany's clothes. Mallory and another friend, Jessica, went to the hospital to take care of Brittany's hand. And on the way to the hospital, they stopped and threw the bag of clothes in a dumpster. She said that they were all in on it, Heather, Tina, Brittany.
Wow.
But Tina was the most aggressive. And then after being beaten and set on fire, Adriana walked a third of a mile to Terrence Hedrick's house for help.
Oh my gosh.
She was a fighter. Tina was given the death penalty and sits on Florida's death row. Yeah.
Was she able to get that patch fixed?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, she had it taken out. She's got her natural hair.
Okay.
In the pictures that I saw anyway. Mm-hmm. Brittany at 16 years old got life in prison. Heather took a plea deal and testified against Tina, you know, gave up all the information, took it off her. She ended up getting 25 years. Tina has exhausted all of her appeals at the state level. And although she could petition a federal court for relief, the U.S. Supreme Court has declined to review her case. So, yeah, there's that.
I just, this bunch of idiots, like, not only were they so sloppy, but this was over... quabble, like it just seems like so petty.
Absolutely.
And now a 16-year-old is serving life in prison,
right?
And her mother is going to be put to death, right? Like over something so stupid.
Yeah, just, you don't have to talk to the girl, just leave her alone,
walk away.
And they even said that she was trying to get back home to Texas. Just let her leave.
Yeah,
the hate from everyone involved is so gross to me. It's so disheartening to see such an ugly world. I mean, you were talking about this ugly world before we started this case, but I mean, we're supposed to love each other and take care of each other. Instead, these people treat others like trash with no regard for anyone's well-being. It's heartbreaking.
And you know what's the worst part is that she was a young mother trying to find her village.
Yeah.
Really putting herself out there, trying to make friends and establish some kind of support system for her and her children.
And exactly.
As a pandemic mama myself, I know how isolating it can be when you don't have that support system.
Yeah.
That's what breaks my heart the most, is that she was just doing the best thing she could for her and her girls, her kids.
I'm a boy and a girl.
I'm projecting. Yeah. I have all girls. So, it's heartbreaking. And then she realizes, okay, this isn't my village. I've got to go back home to family. And that,
Yeah. And, you know, but these women didn't, a village to them meant nothing. They
know.
Because, I mean, there's all kinds of reports about Tina's life. They're and just how
a bunch
she,
of washed up.
Well, you know, her parents, Tina's parents were drug addicts. And they, you know, Tina was left with family members all the time. And I mean, she had a terrible childhood.
Yeah.
And so the family unit meant nothing to her.
Right. And instability was the norm for her. Right. So causing drama, having bickering arguments all the time, that was probably just her MO.
Right.
That was probably very comfortable to her.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so this world's got to do better.
Yes, we do. This is terrible.
Yeah.
Why are we like this?
I don't know. I mean, that's why we sit here and talk about it, because I mean, we're just trying to figure it out, just, make it make
we're
sense.
We're all a bunch of humans on a planet just trying to survive.
Yeah.
We're all, I mean, we are all alike at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to argue about all the differences we have. They're going to, you know, call out all of our differences and then put everybody in boxes and say, well, these people are more important because of this. This is this. We are all just people trying to make it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't get this.
I want everyone to win. Like,
yeah. Like, I don't get this. Like, I'm a small business owner. I'm a, you know, stay at home mom. I've had like bullying from other
adults,
mom shop owners.
Oh.
And I'm just like,
oh my gosh.
Why? We're supposed to be rooting for each other.
Absolutely.
Like, we're on the same
it's
team.
It's not a competition.
It's not a competition. Like, there's room for everyone.
Right.
And like, I don't get it. I just, why are we like this?
I don't know. Well, I do know. Yeah. The golden rule is treat others the way that you want to be treated. Like, why can't we do that?
It really is that simple.
But instead, we treat people the way they treat us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, it's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Therapy session. Here we go.
Oh, my Lord. Well, this was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. We'll see you next week for a serial killer.
Ooh.
Another one. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and rating. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to our show.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or send case suggestions to cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.